Politica culturali, Mihai Karsten Schwierer.
Înseamnă că, în acum al programului Horusensi la Politica culturali, să nu orbu fiți mie mancătireați, sensiile, vor veni serie de minge mal jumat, anamaniți diferenti, اللي بشي موت يسبرينسا والحيات تالبوليتيكا كولتورالي فورسي ها مين اكتر بموت براكتيكو مين اكتر بموت تيوريتيكو مين فورسي فتت متنين و نحسب دوك البروغرامي في الفات في كنا مستدرين عندهم اسبرينسي واري في اسبرينسي تا كومونيتي ديفرنتي كنا دوك الفات اكتر لي كنا ريسبونس بوزيتيف دوارو وفي الفات تدان نرنغرسياكو نرنغرسياكو لساندرو زرافا tal jiprodinna l-mużika tal-program permessa Last Night When We Were Young l-album naħreġa ta' knini din is-sena Pariġi u illu fi programmi għandi xi ħaġa naħseb ukoll jista' jlaqa' ħafna kurrenti, ħafna esperjenzi, ħafna kpipel differenti minħabba l-esperjenzi tiegħu Malta imma mhux biss. Għall-skop ta' dan il-programm ħanaqlef għall-Ingliż kif ġieli nagħmel biex ikollna komunika iktar faċli. Shakib, Zidi, I welcome you to the program.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Shakib, in preparing for this program and also when we've met before, maybe on the fringes of a dance performance or some activity in the cultural field, but also in the social field, in preparing to introduce you, we had sort of gone over a number of elements, because like many people on the show, you do a number of things. You don't restrict yourself to one area of cultural activity. So you're a dancer, you're a choreographer, but you're also a queer activist, you're also a teacher. In fact, this is something you were telling me just before we started, especially from your experience previous to Malta. So later, correct me if I'm mistaken, mostly related to Tunisia, your
exactly,
country.
Yes, absolutely.
You have this experience also in teaching, in education, in lecturing as a professor, and somehow all this you maintained, but you also had to adapt and change because of your shifts from the Tunisian context, cultural, social, personal, and also public, and then moving to the Maltese one. So maybe for the benefit of our listeners, could you fill in a little bit this very brief and skeleton-like introduction I provided about yourself? Also about what brought you here?
So, I mean, it's a lot of events that happened in my life to be where I am today. As an LGBTIQ person living in Tunisia, I have a lot of obstacles. And let's start with in the legal side, being an LGBT, being homosexual in Tunisia, it is a crime. So basically you can get arrested and you can risk 3 years of imprisonment, which is, we call it, the exhibition of homosexual behavior. And if the police have any suspicion on your behavior, you can get arrested. And next step is to do an anal test. And from the anal test, they prove that you are homosexual. You can go for 3 years of imprisonment. In Tunisia, back home, I was someone very, very myself. I didn't try to change who I am for the society, even though the society, it is against it. And, you know, it's different because it's between culture, religion, and politics.
And there's a very charged triangulation there.
Exactly. And politicians, they never have the will to change any law, which is the law that we heritage from the French colonization. And they never had any will to change it because they are scared of the conservative society. And to keep their votes and to keep their political agenda working on, they never try to push up on it. And that led to violence and aggression against the homosexuality, to the LGBTIQ community living in Tunisia, including non-binary, trans, everyone. On 2014, I came to Malta for an internship, and then I left and I went back to Tunisia. And in Tunisia, I worked at the High Institute of Dramatic Art. I was taking care of the Dance Studies Department, the uni. Also performing art. At the same time, I work also in the dance company ICA, which is a Tunisian dance company where I work as a choreographer, as a teacher. To be honest, my way of living is very, let's say, non-conformative to what the society are expecting from me. And I never question that because it is the last thing I always say. I do not compromise with myself. I took some risks, which is leading to a lot of aggression, a lot of issues, a lot of problems and challenges. And on 2017, I went on an European tour. I went to France for a workshop, Italy for a workshop, and to come back, to come to Malta also for the same thing. When I arrived to Malta, I just got to know that my lawyer told me do not come back because if I come back to Tunisia, they can go to jail for being so I applied for international protection in Malta, which is based on sexual orientation, and as a homosexual, I applied for it, and it took so long to be. To process and took almost 3 years to process, and that affected me a lot in so many levels, and my artistic career, my personal life, and that was because I always say I don't have any problem to adapt. We are human beings. We adapt always to the situation we have. I never had any issues of integrating the society or no, I never had that problem. But more the problem that was I was facing is more a legal process, the legal process of how they are were taking care of my my application.
In fact, earlier you mentioned the word obstacles. So I thought you'd mention words like also problems and challenges, which are correct. But obstacles, to my mind, makes it very clear that some of you needed to walk a walk, go through a passageway, go through certain motions, but you had all these obstacles in the way, which somehow you need to jump over or turn around or somehow manage. So it was a very sort of legally complex minefield in a way.
It was very, very hard, to be honest. I mean, because this is something that I felt like I am not welcome, and you can feel it from the bureaucracy, the way they are working on it. So they make you feel every single day you are not welcome, you are not worth it. And you feel that, and at the same time you say, no, there is something wrong, because when you are outside with some people, you feel you are, you have a certain position in the society. But when you go to the office where the Refugee Commission, for example, let me mention, you feel worthless. I mean, in a way, it's the place is dark. The place it's very scary on itself. I am not talking of the people they are working there. No, I am talking of the how the bureaucracy of the system. I'm talking about the system and not about the
And if this was something, Shakib, because the brevity of this program, however, I wanted to mention to you, because on the one hand, even with regards to Tunisia, you were talking about society, you know, at large, and the rules and the norms of society, and very much the culture of society. But then it seems that sometimes society in and of itself is not out to get you. And this is true about all people. It can be about sexual orientation, it can be about gender, ethnicity, so that everyone in your community all the time wants to chase you out of there. But there are tools and there are clear ways how you can be not, you can be made not to feel welcome. And you mentioned bureaucracy. That is very much one of them. I guess there are other elements which we can also discuss today, which sort of, in a way, make it more serious and focused that you are not welcome there. And, exactly. And somehow the years you have spent, in a way, leading to when you got refugee status, but also since then, I think, do you feel that you always have to make a point and prove a point and somehow prove your worth and your value by
of
what
course,
you do?
Yes, because of course, because it's a big responsibility. Like this is the thing. If they give one a judgment on one person, if they are judging all the community, so I have the responsibility to be perfect 24 hours a day. If something happened, I have to show that I am perfect. So do not give a bad image on about the community. So it's a big responsibility that you are taking it on our shoulders. It's heavy responsibility that is coming from the society. And when I say about the bureaucracy, it is also affected me in a different, in my artistic career. Why? Because when I applied for asylum seeker, when I did the application, fill up the application of the asylum seeker, I was able to do only one job, for example. Which is, it makes sense. I need to do one job full time to be able to pay my fees. But as an artist, I am not allowed to do a VAT number. So I am allowed only to do one job. And this is the thing. If it's not only, it's showing that you are not welcome, because we say we accept others and we work in inclusion and diversity, but you don't see it. How you want to work in inclusion and diversity when you are pushing other people to put them in a side or to put them, you want them to be in a certain class in the society when you are imposing rules on them, like, okay, you are an artist, I'm not allowing you to do any kind of art. I want you to stop. So that your creative aspect, it's you feel like you are fighting for something not worth it. And this is the bureaucracy. It's not about the people, because it's totally a different reality with people. When I was an asylum seeker, I was actively working in the art scene with the support of the artists. It's not the support of the system. No, it was artists. We are a community. We were taking care of each others, and we were like, "Oh, Shakib, we know his potential." So people, they were judging me on my potential, but not on my situation.
Shakib, let's pause there just for a few moments for a musical break again, this music by Sandro Zerafa, and come back to open up a little bit more on what you've just said. for the program, yeah, and Lil Shakib Zidi, the film, choreographer, activist, Tashin LGBTI, kifet jajdilna, kif smajna fil part tal program, hemm traġit sieħ, hemm esperienza sieħa li però hemm magħmula minn ħafna aspetti differenti. U issa fit-tieni parti nixtieq nitħolla xi ftit dettall ma' xekk dwar x'in huma dawn l-aspetti ta' sfida illi jiffaċċja. Shakib, in my summary there, so I tried to sort of highlight the main points of the first part of our discussion. Something which really, really strikes me about yourself, your story, but other friends, colleagues of ours who go through this process of trying to affirm their different identities in different contexts, because somehow different people in different even work environments look at us differently and assess us in different ways. And in your case, there is a lot of experience and a lot of variety of experience which you have built on your own, but also in connection with other people. And one of the main fields where you have really developed and flourished is the artistic field, the creative field, which has also taken you to theater spaces, especially to dance and to choreography. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that has developed? Because I think the experience you've had and the perspective you've developed of the dance scene and the work of a choreographer in Malta, from your perspective, is not someone everyone has, especially even people from within the same field itself.
So that's true. I mean, for example, I always say I'm on myself, I'm a political statement. When just I walk on the street, I'm a political statement. The fact to my background, the fact to who I am. And this is really something else that, when we talk about the art in Malta, the art is not, we have a different notion of art. Art should be for everyone. And for me, the art is very important to take back the public spaces, where people started from there. Any protest, any revolution happened in the public spaces. So we start from the public spaces where, unfortunately, in Malta, we have a lot of censorship. Within the constitution, they say there is no censorship on Malta, but you feel it otherwise. There is different way how you feel the censorship. They tell you, and that's why I was decided to work with the Ethiopian Night and with Valletta, Capital City of Culture 2018.
So the particular project of the Utopian Nights, which
Ethiopian Night, we did,
tries to dream up a different way.
We came up, we worked on Meeting Fingers, which is something, it was a performance that was created by me and choreographed by me and worked with, created by Edis Pisani and performed by myself and Mohamed Ali Agarbi. So that was the beginning of my work, and for me, I'm very interested to work on collective freedom, on women rights, on LGBTIQ rights, on fluid gender, on borders, the visible and invisible, on topics that maybe we are not seeing, and some artists they don't see the necessity to talk about it. I am more interested in engage art more than being on the commercial side of it.
Yeah. In a recent program from the other series, Angel Galia, the theater person as well, spoke about this very, very passionately. It's almost past the time of engaging in the world of art just for the sake of embellishment or aesthetics. But art has to be engaged and has to engage with society in order to somehow open up channels of communication, especially between those areas that are either blocked or completely non-existent.
Exactly.
On the other hand, while I see that point, I also think of the work of artists like yourself, who maybe do not, while they are, as you very rightly and very interestingly put it, being a political statement in and of yourself, maybe that can also be a bit constricting, a bit tiring, maybe you also want to be yourself as a choreographer, as a dancer, as a creative person, not always politically engaged, that's dreaming, that's not relevant anymore.
For me, art cannot, art should be political. If art is not political, for me, it's not art. This is the way I think. I mean, if we start as, why I say I am a political statement, because I am gay. I am a refugee. And you see this, I cannot pretend. I always say to the LGBTIQ generation, do your homework. You have to know your history as an LGBTIQ person, that we have a recent history. We've been for so many years, we've been discriminated. We've been people try to silence to keep us down. And not only that, but also is a contribute to the modern society. When I say that, don't forget we live in a society where they want us all to think, they want us all to be white. When I say white, what means white? It's the white culture. It's the white culture who's dominated, and your culture is not, it's nothing. And I feel that also in Malta, which is Malta is very cosmopolitan country. Yes. With a lot of nationalities, with a lot of ethnicities. And it hurts me when I see people, they are also adapting this kind of thinking to be white. Because we become white. We don't
support. So you're saying people who are not white with a capital W, sort of. But they also see that the way to adapt and to integrate and to get on is to really lump it and say, okay, this is the way we do things. Therefore, I somehow need to give up certain things and take on other characteristics, other ways.
Exactly. And especially like in Malta, we're still having this hierarchy. I mean, this Malta have been for so many years colonized by so many different countries, which is in this stage, Malta should be super proud of the culture they have and not being so judgmental or being so discriminatory, but unfortunately we stay feel that they are losing their identity. There is no identity. Actually, we don't feel it because they are still feeling, or they are still praising for the royal family in the UK, and they are very happy to see them, and that's something fantastic. And I'm like, I'm sorry. So you forget the harm that this country did for so many years, the way they shaped the world, the way they destroyed some country, and we still believe they are on the top of you. They are superior. And that's something that I do not accept. I do not accept this brainwashing that your culture is better than mine. That's not true. So I work in my identity. I'm very proud of my identity, and I want to be always, whatever I do, there is something part of me, it is on what I do. And just to remain people, this is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you should also stop being so attached to other cultures, which is, it's fine. I mean, you can be proud of what's going on, happening there, but don't forget, it's their culture, it's not yours, it's totally different. You should be proud of your culture. We have so beautiful culture around the world. No one is better than the other. You should be proud of your identity and how you can contribute with this identity in the new place, where a new environment where you are, and to make this both cultures rich, like Malta and Tunisia, they share a lot of similarities. As an artist, I am very important and very interested showing how the marriage of those two cultures together to bring a beautiful baby. I am not interested to silence my culture and they work on one culture. No, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to make people discover something new, something that's really similar to their culture, but they are not aware about it. And this is the thing, like, I feel it is very tiring. It's true, it is very tiring, but it's very challenging because it's something that makes you, it makes who you are as an artist, and you can always think outside of the box. And when just you work, you just feel, oh, you are very free, you are very proud, but there is things to talk about. There is things like, I am from Tunisia, but I live in Malta, but I am interested in women's rights. I talk about gay rights. I talk about why there is no visibility for the gay artists, why we don't see a visibility for women rights, why we don't see a visibility. So there is a lot of things that I work on and I try to make a balance. It doesn't mean I live in Malta, I forgot what's happening about around me. No, I consider myself as a Maltese.
In fact, we've come to the end already of our conversation, I'm afraid. But I think one thing I'm definitely taking away from this is that, in a way, you, in this particular experience and this particular society at this particular point in time, are possibly representative of many other people who sometimes maybe are not seen and maybe do not take the plunge and the risk and the challenge of being seen as you, or to expose yourself in your work, in your everyday life, also through the creativity sector and the arts, and to say that people are not only one thing, but they are many things, and they can be here and there and connected, and somehow also come up with sort of what Fami Baba calls sort of the third space. It's between, you know, in this case, Malta, Tunisia, and everything else that can come out of that. Shakib, I thank you very much for being with me today and sharing these points, very interesting points, which I think our listeners will keep reflecting on for a little bit. Well, I will, I'm sure of that.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Kallimi Aylil Shakib Zidi, Zafir, choreographer, activist, queer, alim, u attiv ħafna kif smajtu fix-xena artistika kreativa u mhux biss lokali, tal-interventi għaw nirringrazzja u nirringrazzja anki l-istemmija kollha tal-Politika Kulturali, nkun magħkom fl-istess ħin il-ġimgħa d-dieħla.